الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. ما بعد، نعم، we continue inshallah about the ruling of Salah. Our uncle asked me a while ago about the statement of As-salatu khayru min an-nawm in the Adhan of Fajr. Should or should not be said? Well, As-salatu khayru min an-nawm, it is from the Sunnah to be said in the first Adhan. The Prophet ﷺ used to have two mu'addineen for Fajr. One is Bilal, and he used to call the first Adhan. And the second, the other is Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum, and he used to call the second Adhan when the Fajr enters. The one who used to say As-salatu khayru min an-nawm is Bilal. And the reason for saying it only in Fajr, first Adhan, and it is the only prayer has two Adhan. Fajr is the only prayer has two Adhan. From the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Fajr used to have two Adhan. No any other prayer has two Adhan. Even Jum'ah did not have two Adhan. The reason why to say As-salatu khayru min an-nawm, or let's say, the reason for the first Adhan, time. When is the time for the first Adhan? The first Adhan is to be called before the Fajr enters, not after, before the Fajr enters. And the reason for it, the purpose for it, is to make the one who did not pray Witr to awake and pray the Witr before Fajr. Or the one who intends to fast next day to go and take Tahur before the Fajr enters. This is the purpose of the first Adhan. So it is before Fajr. Sometime before Fajr. The reason why to say As-salatu khayru min an-nawm is two things. First, it's an encouragement and a reminder that As-salah, which is Salatul Layl, which is the witr, the prayer which is the witr, it is better than sleeping. As Allah Ta'ala said to the Prophet ﷺ, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُزَّمِّلُ قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا إِنَّ عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ أَشَدُّ وَطْئًا وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا meaning long sleep, you can sleep in the daytime. And the meaning of إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ أَشَدُّ وَطْئًا. نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ means the prayer, the night prayer that comes after sleeping. أَشَدُّ وَطْئًا means it is heavy for the one to stand and pray. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ made the first Adhan. So people to get ready and pray, not prayer or witr, not to leave. And from that we understand that the second Adhan, which is the Adhan for Fajr, should not have a salatu khayru min an-nawm. Should not. Only the first Adhan. No, not optional. Because until the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and also the time of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, they did not used to make, did not used to say As-salatu khayru min an-nawm in the second Adhan, which after the Fajr enters, after the dawn appears. No, they did not used to do that. All the hadith says that it is before Fajr, not after Fajr, or not at the time of Fajr. So if we have two mu'adhineen, one raised Adhan before Fajr, let's say 20 minutes, then this is permissible to be said at that time. But if we have only one Adhan, then as-salatu khayrun min an-nawm is not applicable then. Yeah. No, we don't say it. No. If we have only one adhan,
Should the adhan, is it obligatory to call the adhan facing the qibla? Two, is it obligatory to call the adhan with the qibla in the end, do we just know it is an obligation, is there a way to do it? And when you finish our adhan, we'll be doing it.
The adhan facing the qibla, this is the sunnah of what Rasulullah SAW taught the Mu'adhdinin. They called the Adhan the face of Qibla. Is it obligatory? No, it's not obligatory, it's a Sunnah. It's a Sunnah. But we, as always I say, we have to take care of the Sunnah. When we say the Sunnah, it does not mean, oh, it is something simple, hafiz, knowledge. Leave it. No. This is shame. If our sheikh say, do this, we find it big, so we do it. So our prophet say, do this, we find it little, that is shame. Whatsoever is said that it is sunnah, and prove that it is sunnah, we will have to take it. And I always say that the reason why the ummah today is weak is because they don't hold the sunnah. They don't hold the sunnah of Rasulullah. Some hold their own desire, own opinion. Some hold someone's opinion and debate for it and fight for it. But Mawlana says, what the Shaykh says, what the Imam says. This is wrong, ya Akhwan. The Imam, the Mawlana, the Shaykh are lower than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lower than Muhammad. So how come we leave what he said and say and guide it? This is wrong, yeah. Now, and the second question is, should the Mu'adhin put his fingers into his ear while calling the Adhan? This is again another sunnah. If he puts his fingers into his ear, this is sunnah. And the purpose for it is that once you put your fingers, whatsoever big sound you make, you feel it's small. Like now I'm talking to you, I'm 100% sure that it is loud for you to hear me. Is it? But wallahi, I'm hearing it very small. Like if I'm whispering to myself. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, yani the Mu'adhdinin to do that, in order to increase their voices. As he said to the two men, the shivers, if the salah time comes, one of you calls the adhan and calls the iqamah, and the one who has more Quran to lead the prayer. And another hadith he said to one shiver, if you are in your sheep, and with your sheep out in the desert, and the salah time comes, then call the adhan and raise your voice as much as you can, as there will not be any thing. Here's your adhan, except that they are going to witness that in the devil.
By yourself.
Yeah, even by yourself. Even by yourself. You call the adhan. Na'am, Allah. Do you remember the term?
In regards to the pronunciation of the adhan, right? It said that because the adhan is not Quran, then the tajweed rule should not be applicable to the recitation of Quran. Is that true? Coming to the Adhan, sorry.
The saying that tajweed is not applicable, this is wrong. What is tajweed? Was tajweed known to the Sahaba? Yani, did the Prophet ﷺ teach the Sahaba noon, sakina, tanween, idgham, ya Abu Bakr, there is idgham bi gunna, there is... No, no, no. People who came after the Sahaba, they analyzed, they done analyzation on how does this thing. How the Arabs pronounce these things? The Quran, even the Quran, the Prophet ﷺ did not tell Abu Bakr as-Siddiq or any other Sahabi, where is the Gunna? They did not know Gunna or this stuff. They just recited as it is, it came. People after them, they put the rules. They put the rules. The Adhan was called with the same ruling of the Quran. Same ruling of the Quran. If in the Quran there is ghunna, you will find it in the Adhan. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Here is idgham. Called idgham bi ghunna. Tanween dham comes after it, ra. And ra is one of the letters of idgham bi ghunna. We have two types of idgham. Idgham bi ghunna, ghayr ghunna. Idgham bi ghunna has four letters. I said that idgham bi ghunna, no, that's without ghunna. Idgham bi ghunna has four letters. Ya, noon, meen, waw. Whenever. Noon. Zakir, followed by one of these, we do idgham. Idgham bi ghunna. When we have noon, sakin or tanween, followed by ra or lam, we do idgham but without ghunna. What is the ghunna? Ghunna is a sound that comes from the north. Like when we say, نعم نعم as Allah Ta'ala said وأنزلنا من ال لا ما أنت الدجاجة الدجاجة لنخرج this is without ghunna وأنزلنا من المعصرات ماء ثجاجا Do you hear anything come from me? لنخرج به وأنزلنا من السماء من السماء ماء ثجاجا ماء ثجاجا ثجاجا لنخرج به ثجاجا لي تنبين after it comes لا ثجاجا لنخرج did you hear any غنى no غنى okay فمن you hear this This is called ghunna. Comes from here, from the north. فَقَيْمِيَعْ Okay? In the Adhan, what we say? أَشْهَدُ أَلَّا Here, أَن, we have noon sakin. What comes after it? لا. أَشْهَدُ أَلَّا Do you hear anything? أَشْهَدُ أَلَّا With أَشْهَدُ أَلَّا you don't hear. Do you hear it? أشهد أن لا Any different? Okay. فمن You hear it? It comes from here. That is بغنى. With غنى. أشهد أن لا الأول، أشهد أن لا، أشهد أن محمد، أشهد أن أشهد أن محمد رسول محمد 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 نغل. Why? Because Tamim comes after it, Rahim. This is the way how the Arabs pronounce it. This is the way how the Arabs pronounce it. Now, to recite the Quran without tajweed, it's okay. But it is better to recite it with tajweed. You will beautify it. To call the adhan without tajweed, it's okay, but it is better to call the adhan with tajweed. Because it makes it beautiful. It makes it beautiful. Much nicer. But to say that because the adhan is not Quran, tajweed is not applicable. This is absolutely wrong. This is absolutely wrong. Who said that because it is not Quran you don't make tajweed? Yani it means you should not beautify the adhan because it is not Quran. That is wrong. That is wrong. We have to beautify the adhan, but not with the musical rhythm as they do somewhere. They do like songs. Now that beautification is not acceptable. That is haram. But to beautify it with the proper pronunciation, that is correct and good. Here one. More clarification. Should the Mu'addin stop by Muhammadan and should he say Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah? Should he do that? No, this is a song thing. He should say it all. In the Arabic language, when you pronounce now Muhammadan, I have no word here. Muhammadan, as you see here, has tanween at the end. You know tanween? To fatha, to dhamma, to kasra. Tanween. What comes after it? Ra. Rasul. Ra. What did we say? Ra and lam, these are the only two letters of tanween without gunna. Tanween without gunna. Ashhadu an la ilaha. Here we have nun sakin comes after Islam. Tanween without gunna. Muhammadan Rasulullah. Tanween without gunna. So the way it should be Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. But what is wrong also is to say Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This is of course wrong. As well as Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This is also wrong. The proper way is Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That is the proper way. Now, any other questions? Huh? Any other questions? يرحمك الله.
سليك
الغطفاني.
Now
the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم continued. He did not stop. He did not. The Khatib should not stop and delay all of them for one who came late. He is the one who came late. And that's why In the other incident, he told the man, لَقَدْ آنَيْتَ وَآذَيْتَ. You came late and you have harmed the people by jumping over the shoulder. Nah. It depends on the intention of this person. If he intends to disrespect the Kaaba, then this is natural adab and this is major sin. If he doesn't have any kind of this intention, then it is okay. Now, that is for him to judge it, for the person to do it. But for us, how can we say, hey, you are disrespecting the Kaaba? How can we say that when we say that it is based on the intention? And the intention is in the heart. And we people cannot know what is in the heart of the person. It is no problem to direct the feet to the Kaaba. No problem to direct the feet to the Kaaba if they do disrespect. Okay? You got my point?
And of course you know,
to give any something respectable your back is not good. Meaning, if I sit now here, and you come sit giving me your back, this is bad. Isn't it? It's a kind of bad manner. Disrespectful. The Prophet ﷺ gave the back, Kaaba his back. Him and Abu Bakr Siddiq were sitting, leaning their backs to the Kaaba. So is that a way of disrespect? No, because he respects the Kaaba. But respecting the Kaaba, here is another point. Respecting the Kaaba has a limit. It's not respecting the Kaaba for the stones, these stones. No. These stones have nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. And these stones been replaced many times. Many floods came and demolished the Kaaba and they rebuilt them. Except the black stone. And Umar ibn Khattab, you're with me? Assalamu alaikum. What was the last thing they said? No, I said, and Umar ibn Khattab. Yeah. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu came to the black stone and he talked to the black stone. Black stone doesn't hear him. He just wanted the people to hear. He said, I know you are only a rock. You don't benefit, you don't harm. See how Umar spoke to the rock, the black stone. He knows that this is a rock, this is a stone, he does not hear him. But he wanted the people to hear. If you are paying more respect to this stone, you're wrong. The stone is for the legislation of it. It's for the command from Allah Ta'ala to wipe over it, to kiss it. That's it. Not because it as a black stone, as a stone. No. Not as it as a stone. It's a stone like any other. As Umar said, I know that you are a stone like any other stone. You don't benefit, you don't have. And if I did not see Rasulullah kiss you, I would not kiss you. No? So the respect must be, yani, no, I don't mean limited, but as the Prophet ﷺ gave it, as Abba did it. We do not go beyond that. No. Younger? I did not understand the question.
Some people, young people who don't have illnesses or back problems or something, lean against the wall.
Yeah, but which wall?
The wall is much to the side.
Which wall? The side or the back? No problem with that. What's the problem? What's the problem? In Saudi, in the masajid, the first row, the second row, they make a kind of, backer. Yeah, backer. So they rest their back. Especially those who come early. No problem with that. But if this will make them be away from the first row, they have lost much reward. They are not in sin, but they have lost the reward. And we should always look for the reward, the much reward. We should not ask, is it permissible or not permissible? No, our question should always be, where is the much reward? In this or in this? Then I go for the much. Even if it is more difficult. And especially when you are young. Because when you get old, you will essentially leave this to go for the world. Because you then cannot. You then cannot. You know what I'm saying? No, there is nothing like that in the Sunnah, as I know. When I say no, limited to my small knowledge. I'm not containing the whole knowledge. Just to what I knew, I never come to know that there is anything in the Sunnah. Besides that, sleeping in sitting position does not nullify the wudu. As one day, this is what I found in the Sunnah, by the way. One day, the Prophet ﷺ did not come for Salatul Isha until it is about midnight. So the Sahaba were staying, waiting in the masjid. Till Umar ibn Khattab came, knocked the door and said, Ya Rasulullah, the women and children and people slept in the masjid. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came and led the jama'ah without telling them to go and make wudu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-wita'u, al-aynu wita'u sahi. Al-aynu wita'u sahi. Meaning, if the person is not, as Imam Shafi'i said, if the person is not sleeping deeply and leaning to the side, then that does not nullify the wudu. As they all were sitting. Why? Because when the person is in sitting position, no air can comes out, no air can pass, except with high pressure that makes him awake. Because the area is closed totally. Not like when somebody is leaning on his side. There is no pressure to close the outlet. You get what I mean? So in the sitting position, the air cannot come easily. Cannot come out easily. Right? So that's why the ulama at the Shafi'i said that if a person sleeps in sitting having wudu, this wudu does not nullify unless he sleeps on side or like that. Yeah, on back.
Now,
lean against the wall, that is not sleeping on his side.
Okay.
Still sitting.
If the sheep that does not break the wall,
is what?
Yeah.
Still. Because look how many hours they were staying in the Masjid. Until midnight. They were waiting for Rasulullah until midnight. And he said, Salam came and just did the prayer. He did not tell them to make wudu again. Well, I think it's already late. Wallahu ta'ala alamu sallallahu sallam wa barak. على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.